Hello and welcome to your GCSE English Literature Revision Podcast. I'm your tutor today, and we're going to spend the next 10 minutes really getting under the skin of one of the most emotionally powerful poems in the anthology, Jane Weir's Poppies. Whether you're studying for AQA, at Excel, or another board, this poem rewards careful, detailed analysis, and by the end of this episode, you'll have the tools to write a genuinely perceptive response that could take you all the way to the top marks. So settle in. And let's begin. Let's start with the basics, because one of the most common mistakes candidates make is getting the speaker wrong. The speaker in Poppies is not a soldier, she is a mother. A mother who is remembering the morning her son left for war, and who is, in the present moment of the poem, standing at a war memorial, grieving. This is absolutely crucial. The poem gives us a domestic, civilian perspective on conflict. Weir deliberately places us in the home, not on the battlefield. The war is always offstage, always implied. And that choice to keep the violence absent, but the grief present, is one of the most powerful structural decisions in the entire poem. Now, the poem moves between two time frames. In the past, we see the mother on the morning of her son's departure. She pins a poppy to his lapel, smooths his collar, and watches him walk through the gate. In the present, she stands at a war memorial, listening, desperately, heartbreakingly, for the sound of his voice. The poem never tells us directly that her son has died. Weir leaves this ambiguous, but the imagery, the tone, and the setting of the war memorial all suggest that she is mourning. Examiners will credit candidates who engage with this ambiguity rather than stating the outcome as fact. Let's talk about the title, Poppies. On one level, this is a reference to Remembrance Day, the red poppy worn to honor the war dead. But Weir complicates this symbol. In the poem, the poppies are spasms of paper red. That word spasms is extraordinary. It suggests something involuntary, painful, almost violent. Paper poppies are fragile, artificial, a human attempt to contain grief. The word spasms undermines that containment. Grief, Weir suggests, cannot be neatly packaged. The poppy also carries connotations of sleep and forgetting. Poppies are the source of opium. So there's a tension in the symbol between remembrance and the desire to forget, between waking pain and the relief of unconsciousness. Now let's look at the domestic imagery, because this is where the poem does something really sophisticated. Weir fills the poem with objects and actions from ordinary home life: a lapel, a collar, a bedroom, a gate. These are the textures of motherhood. And by placing them alongside the imagery of war, the uniform, the poppy, the memorial, she creates a powerful contrast between the private world of family and the public world of conflict. Look at the line where the mother smooths her son's collar. She describes the gelled blackthorns of his hair. That's a striking metaphor. Blackthorns are sharp, thorny shrubs. His hair, styled and gelled, is like a weapon in miniature. It's a moment of tenderness, a mother touching her child's hair, but it carries an undertow of danger. The thorns suggest the violence he's walking towards. And then there's the line where she says she had steeled the softening of my face. That verb steeled is doing so much work. She's literally hardening herself, suppressing her emotion, performing composure for her son's sake. But the word also connects to steel, to armor, to weapons, to war. The mother is, in her own way, going into battle. The poem ends with the mother at the war memorial, pressing her ear to the war memorial's stone. She is listening for her son's voice. The final image, of her leaning against cold stone, straining to hear, is one of the most moving in the anthology. Stone is permanent, unyielding, cold. It is the material of graves and monuments. And yet she presses herself against it, as if proximity to the names of the dead might bring her son back to her. Right, let's talk exam technique. When you're writing about poppies, there are a few things that will immediately lift your response into the higher levels. First, analyze language at word level. Don't just identify a technique and move on. When you spot a metaphor or a piece of imagery, ask yourself, why this word? Why not another? What are the connotations? What effect does it create? The best responses zoom in on individual words, like spasms, like steeled, like blackthorns, and unpack them fully. Second, don't ignore structure. Weir uses free verse. There's no regular rhyme scheme or meter. This is a deliberate choice. The uneven, flowing lines mirror the fragmentary nature of memory and grief. Enjambment, where lines run on without a pause, creates a sense of thoughts tumbling forward, of memories that can't be contained. Caesura, sudden pauses within lines, creates moments of silence, of shock, of held breath. When you write about structure, always explain the effect on the reader. Third, engage with the time shifts. The poem moves between past and present, between the domestic mourning and the memorial. This nonlinear structure reflects how grief actually works. The past intrudes on the present, memories surface unbidden. Candidates who identify and analyze this structural feature will be rewarded. Now, the common mistakes. Please do not assume the speaker is a soldier. This is the single most common error in responses to this poem. The speaker is a mother. Her perspective is civilian, domestic, personal. Don't ignore the domestic imagery and focus only on the war references. The domestic details are the point. They show us what war costs, not in terms of battles and casualties, but in terms of ordinary life, ordinary love, ordinary loss. And don't treat the poem as a simple linear narrative. It isn't. The time shifts are deliberate and meaningful. Always acknowledge the poem's movement between past and present. One more thing. Context. Jane Weir wrote this poem in 2009 as part of the Exit Wounds anthology, commissioned in response to the conflicts in Iraq and Afghanistan. She's writing about a contemporary mother's experience, not a First World War I, though the poppy symbol connects the poem to a much longer tradition of war poetry. Weir is a mother herself, and the poem draws on that personal perspective. Examiners will credit candidates who integrate this context meaningfully, not as a separate paragraph, but woven into their analysis. Right, let's test your recall. I'll ask a question, give you a few seconds to think, and then give you the answer. Question one, what is the speaker's relationship to the soldier in the poem? The speaker is the soldier's mother. Question two, what does the word spasm suggest about the paper poppies? It suggests something involuntary, painful, almost violent, grief that cannot be contained. Question three, what structural feature does Weir use to mirror the fragmented nature of memory? Free verse, enjambment, and stanza breaks that shift between past and present. Question four, where does the poem end and what does the setting suggest? The poem ends at a war memorial. The cold stone suggests permanence, death, and the mother's grief. Question five, what does "steeled the softening of my face" reveal about the mother? It shows her suppressing her emotion for her son's sake, while the word "steeled" connects her to the language of war and armor. Let's bring it all together. Poppies by Jane Weir is a poem about a mother's grief, private, domestic, and devastating. Weir uses the symbol of the poppy to connect personal loss to the wider tradition of war remembrance, while keeping the poem rooted in the textures of ordinary home life. The key things to remember, the speaker is a mother, not a soldier. The poem moves between past and present, reflecting the non-linear nature of grief. The domestic imagery, collars, lapels, bedrooms, gates, carries enormous emotional weight. And the language, particularly words like spasms, steeled, and blackthorns, rewards close, word-level analysis. In the exam, anchor every point in the poet's language and structural choices, use precise terminology, integrate context naturally, and always, always ask, what effect does this create on the reader? You've got this. Good luck, and I'll see you in the next episode.